to read Matthew 5, verse 20. Again, looking at this last week, we've been in our series concerning the more than conquerors life, the life that you and I want to live as God's people. And Jesus says something very interesting here in Matthew 5, verse 20. He says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed, go beyond the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees," which was strictly an outward righteousness, a works-based righteousness, "you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's true, of course, regarding salvation. It's also true that we'll not live this kingdom life on earth that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount unless our righteousness goes beyond the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. We've been in this series for several weeks. I don't know how many, it doesn't matter. But this message and the next one, which is continuation, really the two most important of everything we've said thus far. We've seen that the life that we're to live, Jesus Christ, is to be our focal point. And again, that raises the question, how do we do that? Christ is to be our pattern. Again, the question is raised, how do we do that? Do we just decide that starting today, Jesus Christ is going to be my pattern? Well, you can decide that, but it's got to go beyond that or it's not going to work. You're not going to consistently follow Jesus Christ as your pattern. We see that this life we've been talking about, it places proper value and importance upon spiritual things. How do we consistently place proper value on spiritual things? How do we consistently see the importance of spiritual things? And that's what we're interested in, is consistently. We're not interested in doing something every now and then. Any lost person can do that. But we're talking about a consistent way of life. We've seen that this life is a life of worship. How do we do that? How do we worship God every day? You may have the intention of worshiping God every day, but how do you do that? How do you consistently worship God? How do you consistently have a personal relationship with the Lord? Well, I believe the Lord gives part of the answer here, and that is that our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. We've got to have more than a works based righteousness. We have to have more than just an outward form of righteousness. Again, we can raise up our children. Children that are raised in church, they know what to say, they know what to do, and you can raise little robots. But that's not going to cause them to live the Christian life. Their righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. That, of course, begins with where we began this series of messages, is there has to be a miracle. God has to perform a miracle in our life, the miracle of salvation. But the answer to how to do this is found in Proverbs 4, verse 23, very, very familiar verse of Scripture. And then we'll look next week how we do what we're going to talk about tonight. But in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, he says, keep, that is guard, garrison, watch, give vigilant attention, keep thy heart. Notice it's not anyone else's heart, it is thy heart. This is a personal work that no one can do for you. It is something that you must do yourself. Keep thy heart. That's the inward. That's the inward thoughts. We're to guard them. We're to garrison them. We're to watch them. We're to give vigilant attention to our thoughts. When our thoughts, as soon as our thoughts begin to go contrary to God, we need to do heart work. You can't put it off. As soon as that happens, and we could spend the next several months talking about the thought patterns, but as soon as our thoughts begin to run contrary to God, you better guard your heart. The heart, of course, includes our affections. The heart is what controls and gives character to everything that we do. It is the source of all human conduct. Therefore, keep thy heart. But he adds, keep thy heart with all diligence. That speaks of the manner in which you and I are to keep our heart, or the manner in which we are to carry out this duty. We are to keep our heart with all diligence. That is, we're to make haste to keep the heart. Again, as soon as the thoughts begin to wander, we need to make haste. We need to get busy right then and there and do some heart work. It means persistence. Be diligent. Be persistent in keeping the heart. It means perseverance. This is not an easy work. The devil is not going to fight you nearly as much for outward forms of righteousness, because the devil knows you can have all the outward forms in the world and you still won't serve God. But the devil also knows that it's the heart. And the devil will do everything he can to stop you from keeping the heart. He will cause you to put all your attention on the outward, neglecting the inward, and you'll fail. You'll fail every single time. You will not consistently live the more than conqueror's life. So he says, keep thy heart with all diligence for or because. Here's the reason. You are to keep your heart with all diligence because out of it, that is the heart, are the issues of life. Out of the heart proceed the actions of life. So this speaks of our motive for keeping the heart, for doing this work. We're to give the utmost attention to our heart because that's where thoughts are formed. Again, you can do all the outward things correctly and people may think, wow, if your thoughts are contrary to God, you are not right with God. You cannot consistently live the more than conqueror's life. Thoughts are formed in the heart. Keep thy heart. Our purposes are planned in the heart. You can have all the right outward righteousness, but inwardly you're planning that which is unrighteous. And God sees the heart. Words originate in the heart. People say things. And they'll say, oh, I didn't mean to say that, or I didn't mean it. You see, if you would have kept the heart, those words wouldn't have been come. Those words wouldn't have happened. Words originate in the heart. And when we, if someone curses, it's a sign they haven't kept the heart. If someone loses it, it shows that they haven't kept the heart. Words originate in the heart. And that's why people, I'm going to clean up my language. Not if you don't clean up your heart. You're not going to be able to. Everything comes from the heart. Actions proceed from the heart. So we see this is an all-important work. So many times, the outward is stressed. And I'm not saying the outward is not important. That's not what I'm saying at all. But really, that's not where the emphasis should be. The emphasis needs to be on the heart, because that's the only way that we will consistently be right with God. So how do we live this life? We have to keep the heart, because we are whatever our heart is. That's who we are. Notice in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Again, someone can have outward righteousness, but that is not necessarily who they are. They are whatever the condition of their heart is. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the emphasis should not be on the outward. The emphasis should be on the inward. Matthew 15, verses 18 through 20. Jesus makes this plain where the emphasis needs to be. The Pharisees, of course, believed that if they ate with unwashed hands, they brought defilement. And in verse 18, Jesus says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. All these things come from the heart. And the heart is to be blessed. The condition of the heart leads to these things. Keep thy heart. There are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. You can teach these little ones the importance of washing their hands before they eat, but that's not near as important. Is keeping the heart. Not near as important as keeping the heart clean. Then Jesus, in verse 20, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So this is a work that is of the utmost importance, to keep our hearts. To keep our hearts with all diligence, to keep our hearts at all times. There is never a time in which this work is not to be done. It is a personal work. Again, no one can do this work for you. It is a very specific work. And it is a very definite work. There's nothing vague about it. And it is a very urgent work. And it is imperative. Nothing can take its place. Nothing. You can dress right, but that does not take the place of keeping the heart. You can go to every church service, but that does not take the place of keeping the heart. Nothing can take the place of this. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You can dress up this sinful body and make it appear righteous, and everybody thinks, oh, they're wonderful Christians. And nothing will be further from the truth. Because the heart is not right. It's an imperative work. It's a difficult work. There's nothing easy about it. Nothing easy about it at all. And the reason for this is our flesh is opposed to this work. Everything in our sinful flesh is opposed to this work. The devil is opposed to this work. He will throw every distraction and every diversion possible to prevent you from doing this work. And the devil has convinced many today that they do not have time for this. The Lord knows how busy I am, and I don't have time for that. That is a lie of the devil. And you have been duped by Satan if you believe that. He will suggest every possible procrastination to this work. He'll get you to put it off as long as you can. So it's a very difficult work. And it is also a constant work. There is no time when this work is not to be done. There is no condition in which you and I can find an intermission in this work. It is a work that is to be done in times of prosperity. When everything is going well, you had better keep your heart. And when things aren't going well, keep your heart. That is always the emphasis, no matter what is going on. And many times, times of prosperity, everything's going just the way you want it to go, and people do not keep their heart during these times. And they use God as a fire escape. That's our tendency. So this is a constant work. It is a work that is foundational. It is foundational to serving the Lord. I don't believe anybody truly serves God unless they keep their heart. Oh, they may appear to serve God to man, but no one truly serves God if they do not keep their heart. And you cannot truly do that which is pleasing to God if you do not keep your heart. So this is the most important business of your life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And if you fail to keep your heart, you will fall. You will fall outwardly. If you fail here, failure here is to be backslidden. You know, we today look at individuals, we see the outward. And someone begins not to manifest the outward forms of righteousness, and we say that person is backslidden, and that's correct. But may I say, there's a lot of people that continue the outward forms and they're just as backslidden because they do not keep the heart. Not to keep the heart is to be backslidden. And if you fail here, zeal and strength will run in the wrong direction. Zeal and strength begins to run in directions that are contrary to God. Failure to keep the heart has caused many to be led away by the error of the wicked. I don't believe that if you keep your heart, you will never be led away by the error of the wicked. You keep your heart right with God, you'll be in a straight line. But you fail to keep your heart, and you begin to think, the world's ways sound pretty good. You know, that makes sense. Failure to keep the heart has led many away. Failure to keep the heart robs one of spiritual strength. We need strength to serve the Lord. And failure to keep our hearts robs us of strength. Not only robs us of strength, but it disables us from serving the Lord. You realize tonight, because people have failed to keep their heart, there are people sitting here right now who cannot truly pray. You can't do it. You can't do it. Because before you can do it, you have to get your heart right with God. There are God's people who have put themselves in a position where they can't truly pray. All they can say the words, but there's no real contact with the Lord. We need to keep our hearts, because if we don't, we're disabled from serving the Lord. There are people who come to church every Sunday, but they're unable to worship God because of the condition they're in. How'd they get there? They failed to keep their heart. They just simply failed to keep the heart. Failure to keep the heart disables us from being able to properly handle and react to circumstances. Circumstances, change in circumstances and trials and tribulations only manifest who we are. That's what it does. It manifests where we are spiritually. And if we fail to keep our heart, we're unable to react in a spiritual manner. Failure to keep the heart produces worldly thinking. You sit down and talk with some of God's people, and it's very obvious that they haven't kept their heart because they think like the world. If you keep your heart, you won't think that way. So failure to keep the heart produces worldly thinking. It leads to many of God's people becoming Pharisaical. Some, they backslide in their heart and they manifest it outwardly and do so proudly. Perhaps they're lost, I don't know. There are others, their heart is far from God. God said that about Israel. Said, you sing, you preach, you do all these things, but your heart's far, far from me. And they become Pharisaical. Well, we're doing this and we're doing that. And we're in line with the scriptures, with our outward behavior. But the heart's not right with God. And if the heart's not right with God, you're not right with God. It's a failure to keep the heart. That's the reason so many people are indifferent. They're indifferent to spiritual things because they fail to keep the heart. You look at somebody that is consistently indifferent. They do not keep their heart. They do not keep their heart. They can say all they want to. You can't know. Yes, we can. We know by the action. This is the reason so many people are careless in spiritual things. This is the reason that so many people are lax in the things of God. This is the reason worship is carried forth in a very careless manner, because people do not keep their hearts. So we need to keep. We need to keep our hearts. We need to guard them. The Bible speaks of the heart becoming discouraged. We need to guard against our heart becoming discouraged. We need to guard against our hearts becoming proud. We need to guard against our hearts becoming froward. We need to guard against our hearts fretting in our hearts. And we need to guard against our hearts becoming bitter and hard and foolish and covetous. We need to guard against all of these things. We need to guard against our hearts becoming double. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's spiritually unstable. He's emotionally unstable. They're unstable. You can't depend on them. You can't depend on them. So there must be a guarding of the heart. We must guard against the heart becoming hard. Hardness of heart is something that we do. It is something that we allow to happen. If my heart becomes hard, it is because of things that I have done. If my heart becomes hard, it is because I have allowed it to become hard. Notice in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8. Hebrews 3, verse 8, and also verse 15. Harden not your hearts. So it's something we do. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So hardness of heart, you can blame it on a lot of things. But the truth is, it's something we do. It's something we allow to happen. And how do we allow it to happen? We allow it to happen by failing to keep our hearts. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 28 and verse 14, he that hardeneth his heart. Again, it's something we do. He that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief, shall fall into bad behavior, shall fall into misconduct, shall fall into disobedience. Hardness of heart. Do not harden your heart. How do you harden your heart? All you have to do is withdraw it from everything that softens it. The Word of God softens the heart. You withdraw it from the Word of God, you're hardening your heart, you're allowing your heart to become hard. So all we have to do is neglect it. And by so doing, we harden our hearts. Hardness of heart causes spiritual deafness. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 7. But the house of Israel will not. Now this is God telling Ezekiel. He said, I want you to preach to the people of Israel. But know this, they're not going to listen to you. They will not hearken unto thee. For they will not hearken unto me. The reason they will not listen to you is because they do not listen to me. And here's why. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. The reason they do not hear, the reason they will not listen, is because they have allowed their hearts become hard. When that happens, spiritual matters cannot take root. Spiritual matters cannot take root. That's why we have to break up the fallow ground. And if people refuse to soften their hearts, they will not receive the word of God. The next step is blame the preacher. He's not preaching the right messages. He's not preaching in the right way. It's a matter of the heart. Spiritual things do not take root because of a hardness of heart. Hardness of heart will cause one not to consider the things of God. Notice in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. Talking about the apostles, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Why didn't they consider the miracle of the loaves? For their heart was hardened. Because their heart was hardened. And they did not consider spiritual things. And a preacher can stand up and preach and preach and preach, and people do not even stop and consider what is being said many times. And this is a result of a hardness of heart. Hardness of heart causes carnal reasoning, causes a lack of spiritual perception, causes a lack of spiritual understanding. Mark chapter 8, verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? And then notice what he says. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Why is it that people do not perceive? Why is it that they do not understand? It's because of a hardness of heart. And how does that happen? Again, a failure to keep the heart. Hardness of heart and unbelief go hand in hand. Mark chapter 16. And verse 14. Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Unbelief, hardness of heart go hand in hand. Also, hardness of heart results in an impenitent heart, or a heart that refuses to repent or does not see the need to repent. In Romans 2 and verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, hardness of heart and impenitent go hand in hand. So in keeping the heart, we must keep the heart from becoming hard. Hardness of heart is a very dangerous thing. It'll kill us spiritually. It'll rob us spiritually. It'll cause us to fail spiritually. We also have to keep our heart in a right condition. Again, it doesn't matter. If it's a time of prosperity, you'd better keep your heart in the right condition. If everything's going just the way you like it, it couldn't be better as far as you're concerned. You'd better keep your heart in the right condition. God just seems to be showering blessings down upon you, you'd better keep your heart in right condition. This is what God warned Israel about when they entered the land of Canaan. And perhaps everything seems to be going wrong. You'd better keep your heart in right condition. That's your first priority. Keep your heart in the right condition. That ought to be there ought to be a sense of urgency about that. God is blessing me. I've got to keep my heart right. There are trials. There are tribulations in my life. I've got to keep my heart right with God. That's always so. For our hearts to be right with God, we must keep them always in a willing condition. A willing heart is again, willing to do as much as he or she can. It's willing to give the best that they have. It's willing to lay aside all for God's will and for God's glory. It's willing to do whatever God says. It's willing to go wherever God may lead. A willing heart. If we ever sense ourselves becoming unwilling, we better get right. You better get right. It's not a joking matter to say, well, I would never go there. I would even if the Lord sent me, I'm not going there. I'm not leaving my family. Your heart's not right with God. That's a matter of the heart. You better get your heart right with God. You need to keep your heart willing. Lord, I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. And Lord, I'm willing to leave all my family if that's what it requires. And everyone needs to have that spirit and that attitude about them. That's a willing heart. Willing to do whatever. But we dictate to God. We choose this, we choose that, and then we say, Lord, here it is. I'm all yours. But we've already made our so-called choices. We've already planned out our life, so we think. We've got to be willing to just lay it all down every single day. Keeping our heart in a willing condition. And again, you can have everything can be outwardly right, but if your heart's not willing, you're not right with God. Our heart must be kept soft. Our heart must be kept tender. A tender heart, a soft heart, is a heart that is easily affected by the voice of God. It's a heart that is easily affected by the preaching of God's word. It's a heart that is easily, an impression is made upon it very easily from the word of God. It's a heart that is yielding. It is a heart that is pliable. It's flexible. That is, God molds it. We need to keep our heart in a tender and soft condition, that we're able to receive whatever impressions God shall make upon it. We must come to the house of God every single service, making sure that we are in a condition to receive what God has for us. And many come to the house of God and they're not able to receive what God has for them because they haven't kept their heart. How can you worship God if you don't even bother getting your heart in a condition to worship Him? You can't do it. Again, you can put on the nicest suit, you can put on the nicest dress, and you can conduct yourself in a very mannerly way. But when our hearts are not right with God, it's offensive to God. Read the book of Isaiah. It's very, very plain. So to keep our heart soft means that we're ready to be molded into any frame that should best please the Lord. And then we say with Samuel in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 10, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Lord, I'm all ears. You just tell me what you want done. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It is a heart that says with Paul there on the Damascus road, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Lord, what will thou have me to do? That's a tender heart. That's a soft heart. A tender heart has a fear of sinning against God. When you cease to fear sinning against God, mark it down. Your heart is hard. You're not right with God. You say, well, I haven't committed the sin yet. If you do not fear sinning against God, you have failed to keep your heart. You have a hard heart. A tender heart fears sinning against God. A tender heart is always ready to repent. It's not the tender heart that defends its sin. That's a hard heart. A tender heart, all you have to do is say, this is sin, and they are ready to repent. That's a tender heart. A hard heart is ready to defend their actions. As you can see, there's a lot more hardness of heart than there is tenderness of heart. A tender heart longs for fellowship with God and is always interested in renewing fellowship when that fellowship is broken. A tender heart can't stand the thought of being out of fellowship with God. We need to keep our hearts in that condition where we can't stand the thought of being out of fellowship, even for a minute, with the Lord. A tender heart is submissive. A tender heart desires the will of God. A tender heart desires that which is pleasing to God. We must keep our hearts meek. We must keep our hearts lowly. These are hearts that are ready to worship. These are hearts that are full of praise. These are hearts that are full of thanksgiving. The heart must be kept in a fixed condition. The psalmist said in Psalm 57 and verse 7, my heart is fixed. And in Psalm 112 and verse 7, speaking of the righteous man, the psalmist said, his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. That is, his heart is firmly attached to God. Keep your heart. No matter what is going on in your life, whether it be a time of prosperity, whether it be a time of adversity, keep your heart attached to God. You'll need to do that if you're going to live this more than conquerors life. But we've gotten to such a state today that people almost encourage others not to keep their heart. They do that which is wrong. They say, oh, don't worry about that. That's normal. Yeah, it's normal to sin. It's normal to sin. You'd better keep your heart. You'd better keep your heart attached to God. And as soon as you feel, and I believe every child of God, as soon as you begin to go astray, you know it. You know when you begin to go astray. You know when you begin to do something wrong. You'd better drop to your knees right there and keep your heart right with God. And as long as you do that, you'll never go too far astray. You never will. But you avoid, you neglect your heart for a day. Now it's easier to do it a second day. And now it's easier to do it a third. And there are people who have gone, who perhaps are saved. That's not the issue right now, but perhaps they're saved. But they live that Pharisaical life. They have an outward form of righteousness. Because they're so, see, there are some people who don't care what you think. And they're going to do what they want, and they don't care what you think. There are other people who care very deeply what you and I think. And their heart's not right with God, but they're not going to go way out in sin because they're too concerned with what you think. And therefore, they just dress it up. They just dress it up. But in God's eyes, there's not much difference. Neither one are right with the Lord. We have to have a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. And I blame, again, a lot of preaching in the last several decades. The emphasis is upon the outward. And again, we're not saying that the outward is not important, but you get your heart right with God and the outward will take care of itself. But you can have the outward without having the heart right. And if the heart isn't right, you're not right. And you are not going to consistently live a more than conquerors life. and you sit down and you tell somebody who's lived a miserable life since they've been saved, and you tell them, here's why. Because you have failed daily to keep your heart. That's going to upset them. They're not going to be pleased. They're going to be angry. They would rather try another way. Well, I'll fix it this way. I'll just add another form of righteousness. You've just added another burden, is all you've done. Just keep the heart. Keep the heart right with God. We read in Hebrews 10 in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, with a heart that prizes and esteems Christ, a heart that is firmly attached to the Lord. All of this leads to the question of how. How do we keep the heart? Hopefully we've seen the importance, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And hopefully we see that this is something we have to do constantly, every day. But how do we do that? How do we keep the heart? We'll look at that next week. Just a couple of things that we need to do if we're going to keep our hearts in a condition that is right with God. But this is where the emphasis needs to be. That is why when you tell a child to do something, they do it, but they gripe about it the whole time they're doing it. You'd better correct them. Because you're neglecting the spirit and the attitude behind it, which is the heart. You teach them to do the outward act, they do it in the wrong spirit. We have to emphasize the heart. And each one of us individually. I can't keep your heart. You can't keep mine. You can only keep your own. And you need to keep your heart. You can't harden my heart. There's nothing you can do that can harden my heart. You can do things, but I will allow my heart to be hardened, or I harden it myself. You don't harden my heart, you don't soften it, and vice versa. But this is an individual work. It is a constant work. It is an imperative work. We have to keep our hearts. And that we need to keep that in our minds no matter what condition we're in. If we're healthy, keep your heart. If you're sick, keep your heart. If you're free of temptation, keep your heart. If you're in temptation, keep your heart. What's the best way to fight temptation? Keep the heart. That's the best way. You have to guard the heart. So we'll look next week at how we do this. Brother Tim, if you'll come and lead us in a verse of song. Let's all stand as Brother Tim leads us in singing.